We're on the line now. I have Leslie Moore, the City Park Superintendent of Dublin City Council. Good afternoon, Leslie. How are you?
Good afternoon.
Just want to talk about it. Just looking at the little booklet, it's very impressive, I must say. Dublin Bay UNESCO Biosphere Discovery Centre. Tell me the purpose of it and when did the concept come about?
Well, there is an existing centre on the island and it was built in 1986. It was opened in 1986 for the purpose of as an educational facility to tell people, I suppose, about the nature and wildlife on the nature reserve and about the biosphere status of the island at that time. It has it's designated a UNESCO biosphere. But it's only one room. It doesn't have disabled access, it doesn't have proper toilets, doesn't have a lot of the facilities, I suppose, that people would be looking for in a contemporary interpretive centre.
Yeah, I've been down there a few times, and it's quite basic, all right, but the interest is still there. There's a lot of people.
It's quite a robust building, and it's amazing the number of people that go through it, but actually we can't really promote it to the public because it isn't. You know, any public building has to be properly accessible in terms of, you know, the steps up to the room, and we need to have proper access so it's accessible to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did was, about 2013, 2014, we looked at, you know, how we could improve that, and so we looked at options, even including replacing the building that's there on that site, and we looked at other locations. But we can't actually redevelop on that site because, funny enough, looking back at old photographs from 1986, the site there was cleared. But since 1986, the dune systems have come back and re-established around the building. So we couldn't build on a dune system. You just couldn't get planning permission to develop on a dune system.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think the reality is that building technology has changed so much, you'd end up probably demolishing the building and restarting again, but it's not feasible there. And also it would generate a lot more traffic down at the very end of the island where people access the beach, and that could have been a problem.
Okay.
So anyway, we looked at different options, and we came up, we had consultants at the time, and what they suggested was a site which had been landfilled, actually. It's just as you come to the island, at the edge from the Causeway Road, there's a wedge of land there which was landfilled back in the 1960s and 70s, and it's not actually part of the sand island, the nature reserve. So we felt that would be the best location to place it.
Okay, and this has been on to the public yet? Are you looking for consultation on it, or have you any sort of reaction?
We did a consultation back in 2014 when we did that kind of feasibility study.
Okay.
And what came from that was the architects we had at the time, you know, they proposed a building. It was a concept that was four stories high, and it was a small footprint, and so it was stacked up into four stories in order not to have a small footprint. And the feedback we got from the public then was that, broadly speaking, they were happy with the concept, but they thought the concept building proposed was too bulky and too big in scale. So we took that on board.
Okay. So it's been changed now, and I'm just looking at a sketch of it now. So it's one story, but it has a tower. I'll ask you about the viewing gallery first. Tell me what that's...
Yeah. Well, one of the things that came from the original feasibility study was that this idea of a 360 view. Because the centre should be the focus for the biosphere as a whole. Just to say that since 2015, the UNESCO designation of a biosphere reserve has been extended to the entirety of Dublin Bay. So it's not just Bull Island anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's the entirety of Dublin Bay, and so it goes from Killiney Hill over to Howth Head and Baldoyle Bay. But obviously we would still see the Bull Island as being the heart of the biosphere. But in order to give people views to the extent of the biosphere, to bring people up on a bit of height is quite spectacular, and really does give you an appreciation, or would give an appreciation of the extent of the biosphere.
Okay, and people can look up consultation.dublincity.ie/parks/discovery center. That's a long bit. That's big.
I think if they Google it, they'll find it on the city council's webpage.
Okay.
More information there.
Okay, so they get a view of what I'm looking at here in this little booklet if they look up on that site, because it's quite impressive. Yeah, because you're going to have an exhibition room. It looks fairly big as well, and of course the entrance at the side, and then the cafe, which makes it sound like a place that you go and you spend a good half day, if not the full day, depending on the weather, of course, and have a really good time. Because even as it is, it's a good place to go.
Well, I think, you know, the thing, people, a lot of people go to Bull Island and they know it's important for birds and you know, rare plants. But there's also the whole marine, from the point of view of the biosphere, there's a whole marine aspect as well. We did an underwater competition with the divers in Dublin Bay in 2018, and we got some spectacular images of what's under the water.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to interpret all that for people, and the stories about the Brent geese coming 4,000 kilometres from Arctic Canada and how they spend their time here in Dublin Bay. There's a whole range of stories that we can tell in this interpretive centre. And by raising people's awareness of the importance of the island and the bay, we firmly believe that will help us to achieve our conservation objectives for the island and the bay.
Well, I've seen a lot of people there, I've been down there quite a few times, and the mouth is always rather left open when you're leaving, because you just don't know, well, I didn't know that, and I didn't know that, and this is the reaction in lots of ways about it, so it's terrific, yeah. With the modernisation. I'm wondering, will you get any negative feedback about the tower itself being an eyesore?
Well, we've had a series of consultations with the resident associations, you know, Clontarf, Ferhini, and business groups and NGOs, and there's a range of groups that we've been dealing with. And we've had a series of consultations. Most recently, 2 weeks ago, we had a day in the Red Stables. And you know, every time we have a consultation, we get really interesting feedback from people, mm-hmm. and it generates a lot of discussion. We really value that as well, because it has fed into the design of the scheme. And some people... Some people came in at our open day, and they would have had a very negative attitude towards it because they'd heard certain things. But once they understood what the building was about and what it looked like and the objectives, they were happy leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there were other people who weren't happy, and they didn't like the building, they didn't like the tower, they didn't like whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But broadly speaking, I think people are quite positive about it. They would see the benefits of it.
Okay, well, I'm just talking there, Leslie, just talking to a historian in residence here, Cormac Moore, and he was talking about books and history and stuff like that for Christmas as presents. And I just said to him, like, and I say it again, perception and fact can be two different things to different people at times, where they get mixed up on what's real and what isn't. So it's good to have these consultations, but at the same time to come to them realistically and make sure you have all your facts.
Well, there was some stuff on social media about retail outlets being included in development, and there's no retail outlets at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about interpretation and education and people understanding why the island is so important, the nature reserve is so important, and the bay is so important. And it's through understanding and interpretation that you achieve the conservation objectives we're all trying to achieve.
Okay, and have you had any consultation with an agency like Birdwatch Ireland or any other agency that might be involved?
Yeah, we work closely with Birdwatch Ireland and the other NGOs as well, the Seal Sanctuary, and
mm-hmm.
there's other groups there that we work closely with as well.
Yeah.
So we're trying our best to keep everybody informed as the progress and incorporating their views into the overall project as well.
I know, it's great that, I mean, say it's built and then the numbers that go down to it are phenomenal, but the impact might have on the natural habitat around there. Has there been ways of looking at that and how negative that could be? Has anyone consulted on that in a sense? Or is there a way of knowing how it would impact on the natural habitat?
Well, the whole
birds and ants and whatever may be living there.
the whole purpose is not to impact on the habitats. And what there was a very good study report done, and we had it there at the Open Day. It was done by UNESCO in 2018, mm-hmm. where they got 20 interpretive centres from World Heritage Sites, geoparks and biosphere reserves. They got them together in Italy to do a workshop, and from that came a report which set out the value of an interpretive centre, or in our case, discovery centre, in terms of achieving conservation objectives. Mm-hmm. You know, you would think that putting a building is going to harm what you're trying to conserve, but in fact, it enables you to sell the message much more clearly. And you know, I'd be very clear that anybody if the building goes ahead, the discovery centre goes ahead, anybody who visits the Bull Island in the future couldn't but go away knowing and understanding how important the island is, mm-hmm. And how important the bay is, and it's having that ability, because a lot of people, the spectacle, I suppose, the winter spectacle of the migrating birds, you see that in the winter, but people who visit in the summer don't see that. Mm-hmm. They can't get it. So, but if they come into the Discovery Centre, they'll understand that story, because they'll be able to see that. And likewise, we can tell the story of the marine. And another really important thing as well is that, again, universal access. A lot of people, amazing the number of people, whether they're elderly, infirm, or disabled, cannot access the nature reserve because of it's a nature reserve. Mm-hmm. But in this Discovery Centre, for the first time, they will be able to come in and appreciate it, without walking around or getting around it. They'll be able to come in and appreciate in depth the kind of what it's about.
Okay.
And the tower also gives you that opportunity to come in and appreciate the whole landscape as well.
Okay, and finally, about parking, has any thought been put into about the parking? Because if the numbers do increase, which I'm sure they will with something like this, what sort of facilities will there be there for parking?
Well, on the Causeway Road is, at the moment, it's about 11 metre wide tarmac road. And and as people would be aware, the parking is kind of haphazard. But the intention is to reduce the width of the road to about 6 meters, the width of a proper road. And then off the sides, then we will allow to design in proper car parking spaces.
Similar to the one over in St. Anne's?
Similar to that.
Yeah.
But it would be done in like a geogrid. So it wouldn't be tarmac. We were putting in this kind of a geogrid, which will enable the sand to blow in and hopefully vegetate that area. So, in fact, where you have an 11-metre tarmac road at the moment, it'll be a 6-metre tarmac road, and the rest will be green. Okay. So we think it'll much be much better.
Well, it sounds like you've got everything covered there, Leslie. There's no doubt about it. So we just have to wait and see. What's the time frame on it? Any idea? Is it going to be sort of 2030, or is it going to be long before that?
Sometimes
it takes so long to get things done.
It does. Well, we had that consultation a couple of weeks ago, and we will be coming back to the area committee with, we're taking on board issues and discussions that we've had from that last consultation, and we're amending the plans, and we will be coming back to the area committee and come back to the public as well with the updated plans. And we would hope to be going to Onborg Tanola in February, March in 2020.
Okay, so it looks like everything positive for the moment. Anyway, things positive coming back on the consultations.
I broadly positive.
Okay,
and the more you explain to people, the more people are welcoming the project.
Mm-hmm. As I said, as it is, it's fantastic. So this can only enhance it even a thousandfold. There's no doubt about that.
And we have fantastic staff there on the Bull Island as well, and they're working in a facility which really isn't designed for contemporary use. But if we can achieve this new building, it'll be first class, and we have the people to tell the story and to meet and greet people. So we'd really look forward to it.
Okay. Well, as I said, if people want to see more about it and have a look at the outline, they go to your website and they get a look at the draft outline of what it's all about and what it's going to look like. Actually, it's terrific.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thanks very much, Leslie. Thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. That's Leslie Moore, City Park Superintendent with the Dublin City Council.